Blog Talk Radio.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Will a strong and united America still be a force for freedom and prosperity around the world?
America has created the longest peacetime economic expansion in our history.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Good, common sense, and sound judgment of the American people. And their essential love of justice.
Hi, welcome to the Kudzu Vine for the last Sunday in September. Made it through the spring, made it through the summer. I guess definitely with October upon us, it's going to be into the fall. And that's the time for political season to heat up, even in odd years of municipal elections. Tim, Bernita, how you doing?
Great, David.
Yeah, well, I listened to the show. Excellent show. Tim Carroll was a great guest. And y'all really covered a lot of other topics and did a good job. Melanie Goo with the Barack Obama fundraiser. You talked a lot about the city of South Fulton and the different result there for a municipal election. So good covering those things.
Thank you.
That was our great leader, Tim.
Yes, and Tim's run the board again tonight, although I'm back with us. Missed for a strange start of a Falcons time. Went in our favor last week, but tonight was a better game and still done here in the metro Atlanta area.
Did y'all finally win?
Yeah, we finally won. And, you know, our man Roddy White on the Kudzu Vine fantasy football team had about three big catches, so he probably did pretty well for us and hadn't seen a lot of other scores, so I don't know what to think of the other things.
Well, yeah. One thing to think of is an upset in Arizona that's brewing with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Goodness, well, that'd be interesting to watch. I guess that guy that didn't get the job there is getting a little revenge.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Yeah, and the political stuff's picked up a little this week. And one thing I guess that really hit on the blogosphere nerve, and you know I've defended this congressman in the past, but I say it's kind of hard to defend him on this one. Would be Representative Jim Marshall and his vote against children's health care. What do y'all make of that? Bernita?
Don't get me started.
Well, that's what we're here for.
I think that it was his response to the answer was beyond woof. I mean, he has all these claims that it didn't cover this, it should have had that in. But not once did we see Representative Marshall throw up an alternative bill. I
yes.
didn't see him make, you know, that's the way to prove to your district and to your community that you didn't really like it instead of sending out a lame press release about, and then the thing that got me was about the illegal immigrants. Now, didn't we go through this in 2004 and 2006 in the Georgia legislation where illegal immigrants can't get 1 ounce of government help? So now he's saying that they may be able to get into the S-CHIP when they weren't before, but all of a sudden magically they can now?
Well, and maybe, you know, his defense could be they could get it. They couldn't get it in Georgia with peach care, but maybe in Arizona they could, which if you believe in the conservative, you know, states' rights position, Arizona could have the right to give children away, you know, give health care away to children, and Georgia couldn't if they wanted to. So that's kind of a lame excuse there.
Well, and then I also was listening to the Morning Pundit, and they were talking about how the Bush administration has given, like, 19 waivers to other states about allowing this type of person, this type of category. So it really doesn't matter, you know, it does matter what's in the bill, but when you can go and legislate to the White House administration about making an addition into it, you know, there's still someone, some state out there that's doing things unfairly anyway or not across the board as everyone else is doing. So for him to make a grandstand about it being fair and it being just, and that's why he couldn't vote for it because it wasn't standing for all these principles, I think was a complete cop-out. I think it was more of a political move than rather for the baby.
Yes, but was it a good political move? I mean, if we're going to win elections,
yep.
children's health care is the kind of thing we got to win on. I mean,
yep.
some of the other things truly surrounding illegal immigration, you can see how that cuts one way or the other. But if people aren't going to stand for giving health care to children, there ain't going to be much future for our party anywhere.
I know. And what do you say? Well, actually, there was a poll that went out that said 2/3 of Republicans supported the expanding of S-CHIP. So
Certainly.
What is he actually going for on that vote is where I'm very confused about Marsha.
Yeah, one thing, and I was talking to our blog host, if you want to say, John Flack, and we were talking about how one thing I think would help, if you call it S-chip, it sounds like something, a computer chip or something. It's not very, you know, glamorous. But if you call it children's health care, or in our case, Peach Care, I think it resonates a lot better. So it's important, I think, that we stop using this S-chip acronym and start calling it children's health care, because then it's going to resonate. You know, we've heard different people, whether it's George Lakoff, Drew Weston, Frank Luntz on the Republican side, words and the way you frame things matters. And I think it's pretty clear when you talk about if this is S-chip or children's health care.
No, I totally agree with you on that one.
Yes. Well, Tim, why don't you weigh in on this one?
Well, David, as you know, my outrage of the week last week was devoted to this very subject and the fact that President Bush had threatened to veto it. But getting back to Representative Marshall, you know, we've had this conversation before, and I've mentioned to you certain Democrats with elephant ears. Every time we turn around, seems like, since this guy entered office, he has voted sometimes with the Republicans more than the Republicans do. He supported President Bush's tax cuts. He supported the war in Iraq. He supported what Zell Miller did and said. And I know that a lot of people argue with me, well, this guy will give us a vote for Speaker, but what does he give us other than that? Are we better off with a Republican or a Democrat who acts like one? That is the question I want to throw to you right now, David. Are we?
This is the most indefensible vote of any of the votes I think he's had that would be Republican-esque. This is one where I just don't see any defense. I mean, and then the thing like Bernita, maybe he did see the, you know, what he did wrong, and Bernita mentioned that he said, oh, it should have had this and should have had that, but that's what the amendment process is for. And if you're on record saying put this amendment or that amendment, and in that case, it's like, well, maybe the bill wasn't liberal enough, but that obviously I don't think the way he was playing that.
Well, you know, it's like guys like me go out and nail up signs for people, and we work in headquarters for people, and we organize phone banks for people and raise money for them, and they tell us they're Democrats. Is it too much to ask for them to occasionally act like one as well? Well, I don't think it is. And how does he think the Democratic Party down there is supposed to feel about him?
Yes, and wasn't there a blog post talking about Bibb County support? It said Bibb County backs Jim Marshall nominally, and nominally is probably not the correct word, but do y'all that blog post, did y'all see that talking about Bibb County?
Well, no, I think they said that they support him, but they didn't really like this vote. And I think they're in a mix because, but somehow there's this big PR that if Jim Marshall isn't elected, then all of a sudden we lose. Like he, you know, is the only one that can possibly ever win in that district. I would say you got a good shot of any Democrat as much money as the D Trip puts into that district.
Yeah, and the D Trip, I think, at some point does the D Triple C start to say, hey, you know, if John Barrow in his district with less seniority can vote for children's health care, why can't Jim Marshall? I mean, at some point, maybe they have to say, look, when it comes time to give that extra little push, maybe we should support John Barrow with a little more if that decision has to be made. Now, of course, I read that the Republican Party only has about, what, $2 million in the bank, and the Democratic campaign committee has $22 million. It's some, you know, a huge disparity. So it may be that our party can choose to defend everybody and even choose to go on the offense in a lot more places than we had suspected or hoped or have in the past few cycles.
And if it is politically motivated, David, the thing is, it's not going to really help him because the Republicans are going to come after him anyway. They want his job. Does he not understand this? If you're going to lose, hey, why not lose as a Democrat?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think one of the politicians we respect the most, Buddy Childress, he told me more than once he was going to go down swinging, being a Democrat, being who he was.
Hey,
and, and talking about aren't they going to come after you anyway, I don't think Zell Miller realizes this, or he should if he's a very astute politician. Had he decided to run again for re-election in 2004, they would have come after him with everything they had, even though he had endorsed President Bush and everything else. They'd still come after him because they wanted everything they could. They don't want somebody that votes for the Republicans 80% of the time. They want 100% of the time.
Amen.
So, you know what? And I don't know why we don't demand the same. Because when we demand
amen.
The same, then, oh, you don't know the district. You know, you start hearing that. Well, the district wouldn't like that. I'm thinking if the district is getting federal funding for domestic projects, I think the district would like that.
Yes. I mean, and, you know, obviously 100% maybe not. But maybe, I mean, at this point, it's, I mean, he's beginning to get, seems like 100, less than 50% of the time. I mean, vote with us a majority of the time, you know, not 100%, a majority at this point.
Yeah.
Would
I mean,
be an improvement.
That 80% that they show of him voting is for really constitutional issues. It's not for when it comes down to the major votes that where Democrats seek, he doesn't vote. And then his excuse is, or his followers' excuse is, well, you know, they won the bill anyway. That's not the point.
Yes.
You know, it's
yeah.
not the point that the bill passed. The point is he wasn't with us. So now we also have now lost veto power in the House.
Oh, yes. And so, but then it may be, you know, hopefully as our, you know, majorities get more veto-proof, particularly in the Senate, maybe if he, I mean, I don't know what he truly believes at this point. I mean, it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to know exactly where he's at. I mean, when we're in the minority, that's okay. That's one set of circumstances. Now we're in the majority. It seems like you could spread your wings a little bit, especially the second time you've run in this district, because every time it was proven that every place that Barrow and Marshall represented for at least 2 years, their vote went up. And so mm-hmm. it only figures that he's in a lot less jeopardy to he can be who he wants to be. Maybe that is a little bit right of the Democratic Party, but feel the comfort to be who you are. And I can't imagine that he can't feel comfortable voting for children's health care. And let's not let the Republicans off the hook, because in Georgia, three of the Republican representatives are doctors,
mm-hmm.
and they can't vote for children's health care. And one's a dentist, so I guess we can add him to it. So there's four people. I mean, that would be like me as a school teacher voting to slash education funding for kids. I just don't see how you do it. But that shows they're in the – go ahead.
You know, I mean, they're quick to say the Democrats vote along party lines, but come on, you can't spend this any more than it can be. But Marshall also, I mean, they just did another report about how people were voting, and he was 40%. He only had a 40% ranking in voting with African-Americans on African-American issues. And his district is, what, 33% African-American?
Yeah.
So I don't know how he, you know, it goes back to he's not even touching any of his base voters. He's just assuming they're going to keep coming out for him and keep voting for him.
Yeah, you're never going to get them all, so you can try to appease and appease and appease. And there's just some people, until you have .R behind your name, they're not going to support you. And then the thing is when you have .R behind your name, there's some people that ain't going to support you with that D beside your name. So there's rare the politician that gets 100% of the vote. You hardly ever see even the most popular person in the most partisan one-sided district that gets above 90. I mean, it's just unheard of. So you might as well try to stop trying to get everybody. Can't make everybody happy.
At least stand on some kind of principles would be a good thing.
Yes.
Or a consistent principle.
Amen.
Yes, well, I guess.
I'm saying that a lot.
Certainly. Well, I know that we got some big guests coming up soon. Will be Bonnie Bird Gardner, who's running for the State House in the special election, and Pike Upson and Lamar counties. And then, of course, we got Barbecue Bob Herndon going to toss a little ball. Politics and Barbecue and his new club coming up soon. So, Tim, let us know when our first guest gets on the line immediately, no matter what topic we're discussing. Well, I guess another topic that kind of came up in the congressional realm was two of our Democratic congressmen were on the list of the five, was it four or five worst black congressmen in America?
Four.
Two of four. And, one really surprised me, and that was Sanford Bishop. I've never known Sanford Bishop to receive any, you know, high-profile criticism for being one of the worst of anything. I mean, you got to think Bill Jefferson has one spot locked down on that list, so that only leaves three other spots. Bernita, by the chance, I didn't see, but the whole list was the one. I take it one of the other four had to be Bill Jefferson.
What's his name? Yes. And yeah, and I think it was, what was her name? The Yvette Jeffrey from New York, and that's just because she's been absent from illness.
Yes. Well, I mean, gosh, if she's got a medical leave of absence, that's kind of hard to hold against her. That made me think that the list might not be the best.
Who was the list? It was. No, Archer Davis. Actually, Arthur Davis.
Arthur, and I've always thought that he had a positive reputation over in Alabama. So that's interesting. But and then David Scott, he's kind of is starting to develop a reputation that's in contrast to the reputation he developed in the state Senate. In the state Senate, he was a man that stood on principle, would vote for gun control measures, which never had any hope, but he'd talk about his district, what gun violence did, and even if people didn't agree with him, they respected him. But then since he's been up in the Congress, it's kind of a little bit of a different profile. What is everybody's take on that?
Let me ask a question about, and let me lump him and Bishop together. Do y'all think they're a bit too conservative?
Bishop, not really. I think his district's a little more rural. Scott, there's just no reason to be. I mean, his district
Scott has
is very Democratic.
I'm with David. He has no reason to vote. You know, he needs to be cheating off John Lewis's paper.
Yes, I mean, and it's...
Yeah, a lot of people need to be doing that, by the way.
But it's just silly, and it's not really getting him anywhere, because he's not getting the progressive stuff. He's just getting the sleazy, bad government vibe. I mean, and I really don't know a lot about the situation to really, you know, say that whatever these ratings are the absolute truth, but I just know that the spin of it is not good for him. But I was just really surprised to see Sanford Bishop, you know, and on that list as well. It's the kind of thing that if somebody was very versed in it, we'd love to have them call in if they were listening live, or if they podcast it later and say, hey, I know all about it. Come on the show and let us know.
Okay.
But it certainly hit as a topic.
Yeah, I mean, that would be very interesting. I think we can make that happen.
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously up for all kinds of booking ideas. Well, I guess staying in the, not Sanford Bishop, but staying in David Scott's district, one of the major cities, Jonesboro, Bernita, there's a candidate that's coming there, a doctor, Donna Sator. I may be saying that right. I mean, wrong.
Donya Sarter.
And she started running a pretty progressive campaign for the city of Jonesboro, a town which is near and dear to my heart. It's where I grew up, graduated high school from, and my family had been there. I was fourth generation Jonesboroan. And tell us a little about her campaign.
Well, she's actually is the youngest person that's running for it. And the way they do things in Jonesboro is a lot different than what we would see, like, for a state representative level. There is 4 seats open, 1 is a special election, and there's 8 people that are running. So what they do is take the top ones, and that becomes your city council. You don't have a district. You're pretty much citywide. And it seems to be like 2 factioning groups, Jonesboro Pride and Friends of Jonesboro. And currently the Jonesboro Pride people have control, and they've been the ones who wanted to get the mayor out. I think they tried to get her out twice. So, I mean, for a small area, man, they have a lot of political controversy. It's just, yeah, it's been totally mind-blowing. It's like, y'all can't get along. But, you know, you've got the Friends of Jonesboro that wants to move it forward, and Jonesboro Pride that seems to be happy the way things are. So so Donya decided she wanted to run, and she's part of that new group of people are moving in and putting their kids in the school system and wasn't seeing that, you know, their needs were being met or even talked about on the city council.
Yes, well, and you probably have a lot of people that lived in Jonesboro. Their kids aren't in the school system. They don't have. I mean, they don't have kids. I mean, they have grandkids, and they don't have. They don't have use for the parks. I mean, it's just a different.
David, I believe our first guest.
That's excellent. Go ahead and put her on.
She's on.
Hi, Miss Bird Gardner.
Rod, hi. This is
hi,
Dr. Gardner.
Tell us, Dr. Gardner. Is it Dr. Gardner?
It is Dr. Gardner.
Okay, one of my main education professors was Dr. Mike Gardner at Shorter, so that's just right up the alley. Since your background is in education, I believe you are a teacher, administrator, and even the superintendent of Pike County Schools. Am I correct?
Yes, I was. I retired in 2001, and then they called me back in 2004 to be interim superintendent, which was just an exciting time for me to be there.
Yes. Well, I guess just give us a whole bio, general biography about yourself and your experiences.
Okay. I want to give you some personal information first.
Give us anything that you want to tell the people.
All right. Well, my roots are firmly planted in Georgia. My bishop ancestors moved to Pike and Upson counties in the early 1800s and were potters by trade. They lived in an area in Pike and Upson County called Jugtown because of the many families who earned their living by farming and turning pottery there. And if anybody in the listening audience has any clay pottery with the name Bishop on it, you have some of the pottery my ancestors made. And my Brooks ancestors, they moved to Georgia in the 1800s, and they originally settled in Meriwether County, and then they moved to Upson and Pike counties in the early 1900s. I was born in Thomaston, Georgia, and I lived there until I was about 7 years old. And then we moved to Miami, Florida, because my father was a carpenter. Both my parents worked in the mills when we lived in Thomaston. And when my children were in middle school and first grade, in 1977, I decided to move back to Georgia, to my roots, and to be with my grandparents and aunts and uncles, who, of course, were still there. I started volunteering at the school system, and before you knew it, I became a teacher's aide there, and went from that to being a teacher, and then I found out when I was teaching high school students that I was counseling as much as I was teaching, so I went back to school to get degrees in counseling, and then I added on administration, too. And I retired as assistant superintendent in 2001, and as I said, they called me back in 2004 to be interim superintendent. And before I went into education, I had a career in banking for 16 years. So I have a business background and I have an education background. I have a proven record as a public servant too, and I truly believe I'm the best candidate for the House seat in 127.
Yes, well, it sounds like you have a diverse background. You sound like one of those kind of folks that gets into something and immediately just lets their talent be shown. I work in schools, too, and that's why you'd always treat the parapros well, because you never know when they're going to run the whole thing.
That's true. And I really loved everything that I did. I'm a helper, I'm a public servant, and I really do have a passion for whatever I'm involved in. I guess you can probably tell that.
Yes. Well, what prompted you get in this race at this time?
Well, I'll have to steal something from Emma Bombeck. She said that when she met her maker, she wanted to be able to say, "I have no talent left. I've used everything you gave me." And God has blessed me with a high energy level and a passion for people and a passion for service, and that's the reason that I would like to have this seat.
Yes. Well, and tell us some of the core issues or key issues to either you see for your district or you see for the state of Georgia.
Okay, I'll be glad to do that. And I wanted to tell you, too, that I'm very involved in my community. I'm president of the Pike County Retired Educators, and I have been past president of the Council on Child Abuse, and I'm on the appeals board there, and I co-chair the Relay for Life, the Cancer Survivors Activities. And so I'm very active in my community, and I really do, like I said, I have the heart of a public servant. And I have so many things that I'm passionate about in our district, and I'd like to talk with you about some of those. One of those, of course, is the peach care that we have in the state of Georgia. If that doesn't get reauthorized soon, a lot of children are going to be without health insurance. And right now in Georgia, there's an estimated 300,000 children that are without health insurance, even with Medicaid and peach care. And we have 273,000 children on peach care right now. And unfortunately, there's a cap of 295,000 for the children in Georgia to be in peach care. So, of course, that's supposed to expire today, so I'm hoping that that gets reauthorized, because our children are going to be losing out, and that's just not, as you would know, not a good thing. Because children, regardless of their economic status, they need to be insured. They need to have the health care that they deserve. And as you know, a sick child can't learn.
Certainly. Well, that obviously takes it back to children, which your main career education deals with. What are some other issues as you see it?
Well, I'm also concerned about agriculture in Georgia, because we really have an unfair playing field for agriculture in Georgia, because we import some foods from other countries where farmers use pesticides that we can't even buy in Georgia. And, of course, some of that food is contaminated, And we're continuing, even though we're getting sick from some of it, we're continuing to import goods, and we're hurting our farmers here in Georgia. And, of course, Georgia is the number one state for poultry production. But right now there's a move in China to start importing chickens from China. And that might not sound like a problem right now, but they don't have the same sanitary conditions that we do for raising poultry. Not all of the farms, but some of the farms are very low, small. They have just one-acre plots. And what they're doing is, in some of these farms, and not all of them, of course, but in China, they are putting like 20,000 chickens in cages over shrimp beds. So the shrimp are feeding on the feces from the chicken. In 1 month, they had to refuse 51% of the imports from China with catfish, eel, shrimp, and so forth because of salmonella and veterinary drugs that were in the imports. Now, if we had a company here that was doing that, we would close them down immediately. So I think that that's really a sad situation for our farmers.
Yes, I mean, obviously, we want to have jobs here for our people, but beyond the, you know, simple might call it protectionism elements, I don't know that chicken's the kind of thing that you want to keep over across a trip across the Pacific and then across the country when you could just get it from Gainesville or Dalton or some of the other big chicken-producing cities in our state.
Absolutely. And it's ludicrous to think that we are even thinking about doing this, but we are. It's not in the distant future. I talked with a farmer in Pike County, and he's the one who gave me some of this information.
But yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it sounds like you've got the eye on the pulse of the district in the state of Georgia.
Well, I'm really trying to do that. I want to be diverse. In fact, I'd like to get on the Education Committee and the Agriculture Committee when I'm elected to this position. But I do have another concern that's really near and dear to my heart, especially with education. Most of the audience probably knows that school systems throughout Georgia earn money based on the student populations they serve. But some of that money is being withheld by the state and is not coming back to local control. It's being dispersed by the state, and it's causing local taxes to rise. In the district where I am, it's Upson, Pike, and Lamar, taxes has risen for the last 3 years. And for fiscal year 2008 in Pike County, over $263,000 was withheld. In Lamar County, over $205,000 was withheld. And in Upson County, $431,000 was withheld. And, of course, that totals about $899,000 for three counties. The Sunny Money $100 Walmart gift cards that were given to the teachers, although it did cause a lot of good press for the governor, it only totaled $63,000, and that doesn't begin to make up for the shortfall. These cuts were first called austerity cuts and said they were needed to balance the budget, but now it's a line item that's called amended formula adjustment. And unless there's somebody up there representing us who is willing to say that this is wrong, it's going to continue. And I really do think an educator needs to be in this position. There was an excess in the state reserve last year in that these funds to educate our children were still withheld, and you know that's wrong. And although the cost of educating children has increased, there's been no inflationary adjustment for this added expense. Construction costs for schools have doubled in the last 15 years. Textbooks are still being funded at the 1986 price, even though the cost of a science textbook has risen from $40 to over $100. The money allocated for support services for secretaries and other staff has not increased since 1988. Media center money has been cut in half. You and I are paying for these shortfalls. Some school systems are even suing the state right now because what they're saying is the state is going against its own constitution, which ensures us that one of the responsibilities of the state is to educate its children. It's got to come to a halt, and I think I'm the person to work to make sure that that happens.
Certainly. I mean, the amount of educators in the State House and State Senate has never been as high as what it should be. If you look at the budget, a majority of the state budget goes to fund education. But just in the last few years, we've lost Richard Marable and others that were in the State House and State Senate that knew about education, and we replaced them with more lawyers and some funeral home directors. And so, and those are issues where, you know, it's not as vital as education to the budget. Well, you're on here with Tim and Bernita, and I wanted to see, Tim, do you have any questions for Dr. Gardner?
Yes, Doctor, I have just a couple for you. The first one I have, I know you've been hearing about Speaker Richardson going around the state promoting his new sales tax proposal. I was wondering if you had an opinion on that.
Yes, I do. I think that the zero property tax, it sounds good to begin with, but they would tax all goods and services, and it's not a good idea. Local control of taxes would be lost. And I think it was Skip Dawkins who warned us that this type of tax reform would undermine the local boards of education, as it would shift the rule from the home to the dome. And additionally, the working person and the elderly would be the most harmed. The people who would really benefit from this zero property tax would be the big landowners. That's
yeah.
how I feel.
Well, Doctor, I can honestly say that if I lived in Pike County, you just got my vote.
I'm glad to hear that.
And the other question I have is one that I love to ask all of our guests. I looked at your website. It's a very nice-looking one, by the way, and I noticed an ad for one of the presidential candidates. I won't say which, but I was wondering if you had a favorite in the presidential race and who that might be.
Well, do you really want me to share that with you?
If you like.
All right. After watching the debate the other night, I was very impressed with John Edwards because he did not he answered every single question. I was impressed with Hillary Clinton. I'd probably vote for one of the two of them if I had to vote tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Bernita?
Hi, Dr. Gardner.
Hi.
I surely want to talk to you about your how's the Democratic support down there in Pike and Upson?
Well, to tell you the truth, it's a Republican county. However, I have a lot of Republican support. The people in Pike County vote the person usually rather than the party. I do have a lot of Democratic support down there, though, and it's wonderful because I have about 50 people on my committee who are making phone calls, and I have a lot of the signs for me in the yards of the Republicans as well as the Democrats. So I'm excited about the race. I really hope that we can win it without a runoff.
Okay. So are you planning any door-to-door activities you want to share with us?
Well, we have been walking door-to-door. Since I've been in the education system for 24 years, a lot of folks do already know me. And so we're getting out and walking into the neighborhoods of the newly developed homes, and we're going to the people who have been there for many years, too. And I have a lot of students that I worked with over the years, and I'll get my students to register to vote because I really felt like it was always important, of course, that we vote. And a lot of my former students are calling and saying, I'm supporting you and I'm going to walk for you. I'm meeting with the Kiwanis Clubs this week, making phone calls, personal phone calls. This Friday from 3 until 8 o'clock, we're having a meet and greet. Actually, it's really a come out and talk with the candidate because I know so many folks in the county and I want them to be able to tell me what's concerning them. I've already had several people talk to me about issues that are concerning them. One of the things was the agriculture. One of the farmers was talking to me about that and wanted to know, what can I do for agriculture?
Okay. So if you have any activities that you want to invite other people to come down and help you out, just give us a holler and we'll post it somewhere.
Well, I would certainly love to have any help. Even if you don't live in my district, if you would be willing to make phone calls or if you would be willing to come out and canvass the neighborhoods with us, we would love it. And like I said, this Friday from 3 until 8 would be a good time to come down and talk with us. It's on Highway 19 at Lion Gate. It's an event center, and we're going to have light refreshments, and we'll be there for 5 hours. So we're hoping to reach a lot of folks that night.
Sounds like a good event. I'll throw it back to you, David.
Yes, and so the race, just to get an idea of it, there are three candidates, yourself and two other gentlemen that are both running as Republicans.
Right, they are. And one of them
not to promote too much
children.
About them. Is what?
One of them has homeschooled his children, so he can't have much of a heart for education, public education in Georgia.
Kind of a me first kind of person.
Well, it seems like that. I'm not criticizing him. I'm just saying, how could he have a heart for public education if he didn't even bother to give us a chance with his kids?
And certainly. Now, the person that vacated the seat, Matt Crawford, has he endorsed or shown support for any of the candidates, including possibly yourself?
As far as I know, he has tried to remain neutral. I think Mac has done a great job in this seat, and I told him many years ago that if he ever vacated the seat, that I would like to run for it. And when the seat was vacated in the middle of his term, my husband and I talked about it, and honestly, I just felt like the Lord laid it on my heart to serve the public just one more time. And what I'd like to do is stay in this position. If I win this race, we're going to run again when it comes up again.
Yes, and that kind of brought my mind to another question, but of course, as people talk, it leaves me. But have other leaders in Georgia come out and been supportive in any way of your campaign or other campaigns?
Yes, I've had a lot of support from the Democratic Party. Gosh, they're just so wonderful to help you if you're doing this. And Matt and Rashad over at the office have really been helpful to me. Tim has been helpful to me over there. Dubois Porter has called and encouraged me. Carolyn Hughley has encouraged me. Jane Kidd. I mean, I just can't tell you the people that have encouraged me and sent campaign contributions, which are always wonderful, and the phone bank or mailings, anything that anybody could do to help us would be really appreciated.
Yes, well, and I'm sure they've given you a lot of good advice, but I'm going to give you a piece.
Okay.
You're talking about how people know you. Run and campaign when you meet people like nobody knows you, or if they know you, they don't like you. But raise money like everybody knows you and everybody loves you. But that way you feel like you can ask for more.
That is wonderful advice. It certainly is. I even had a gentleman call me the other day who's not in our district, but he said, I can't vote for you, but I'm going to send you a campaign contribution because we need an educator there, and I like what I hear about you.
And that's what needs to happen. If there's some mechanism where folks can donate your campaign, because I know you don't have a true campaign website. I think Amy Morton at Georgia Women Vote, she put up an excellent bio and your contact info. We actually linked to that posting on our posting so people, while they're listening to the show, can read that and find that and contact you. But if there's some way that a mechanism could get up where people could donate money to you, that would be a strong thing you could do to maybe get, you know, a few thousand dollars.
Right.
Can I
share my phone number and address right now? Would that be
you all certainly right? can.
Okay. If you want to make a contribution, if you would please make a check out to the campaign, the committee to elect Bonnie Bird Gardner, and my home phone number is 770-567-3503. My address is 723 Oliver, Oliver, Road, Meansville, Meansville, Georgia, 30256. And we're just such wonderful folks down there that we're trying to get the name changed to Sweetsville.
Well, I was going to say, the Republicans, you may not win me votes in Meansville because they may all be Republicans if they go after their name, but I'm sure it's just a name, not an attitude.
But God has really blessed me with a high energy level and a passion for helping folks, and that's really why I want to be in this seat. And I will not compromise my ethics. I promise that. I will not compromise my ethics. I will do what's best for the people.
Yes. Well, Dr. Gardner, I want to thank you for coming on the Kudzu Vine. And you're always welcome to come on. If for some reason you have an event or something you need to promote before your election, feel free to get in contact with us. Just call in. Just during the show, we take call-ins. So know that's available to you for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And, of course, the next time we talk to you, if it's after that, we hope we're confused because we won't know to call you Representative or Dr. Gardner.
Well, thank you so much. I hope it's Representative.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in and being with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes. Well, that's another exciting special election race. I tell you, these special elections, we kind of have a knack for getting in the middle of those and talking about them and letting people know about them, because I think everybody's excited.
I believe our other guest has joined us. I'm going to click him on now.
That's another exciting.
Yeah, I tell you one thing, we forgot to ask Dr. Gardner what a good barbecue joint is in the 127th district. That would have been a great lead-in. But Bob, are you there with us?
Yeah, I've actually got your thing on and on my computer. I've been listening to that race, and
I think
it sounds exciting. And I'm meeting with the DeKalb Democrats this Thursday, and I'm going to announce that she needs some help, and I'm going to pass the hat, and I'm going to try to mail her a check. I don't know how much it'll be for, but DeKalb Democrats are going to raise some money for Bonnie, and we challenge every other county party to match our donation, whatever it is, so that we can give her full funding for this race. I think Democrats around the state need to support each other.
Bob,
yes,
you've got to turn your radio down, your computer down.
Bernita, get on him. Hadn't you listened to radio where they tell people you're calling in, turn your radio down? I tell you what, I'm walking around outside with a stick in my hand, Bob.
You
should be glad I'm not with you. I'd have to wrap your wrist or something. To it. No, actually, I heard it a little bit at the first. I don't think it actually overpowered towards the end. But now that you're on, you know what's being said. But, yes, I think a lot of people know you from your work in politics. You're the secretary of the DeKalb County Democrats?
Yes.
And you've worked in a number of campaigns.
Yep.
Tell me a few of those campaigns.
I've worked on Senator Kurt Thompson's campaign. I worked on David Adelman's very first campaign. I was a volunteer on that. I've worked on Greg Heck's campaigns. I've also helped on Kevin Levitis' campaign, and unfortunately a little bit on Mike Jacobs' campaign, but just because I worked on his campaign doesn't mean I forced him to switch. And Patrick Pillion's campaign, and I'm trying to think of some other ones. And I just do whatever I can to help any good Democrat in Georgia.
So you've been a volunteer and you've been a paid staffer.
Yeah.
And the reason we had you on the show, I know why that happened. You worked on Greg Heck's campaign, and his office was halfway in the middle of between Dean's Barbecue and Harold's Barbecue, two of the finest barbecue places that you can find in Georgia. And Bernita, when you're working on the city council campaign in Jonesboro, I recommend going to both places. They're both excellent. One's south of town and one's a little north of town. Harold's been a little north of town, and Dean's been a little south of town. But, Bob, you have started something in the last few months called the Atlanta Barbecue Club. Tell us a little bit about the club.
Well, basically, it's anything and everything to do with barbecue. If you love barbecue, this is the club for you. We have 9 restaurants signed up right now. We're getting more, where you get a card that gives you a 10% discount at these restaurants. We have Maddie's. We have Fat Matt's. We have Ham Bones. We have Casey Pitt Barbecue. Just this week, I signed up Waikiki Hawaiian Barbecue. So if you go in there with your membership card, you get a 10% discount. And we have a once-a-month meeting, and we spell it M-E-A-T-I-N-G. And what we do is at that meeting, we're going to go to a different place and taste out the barbecue and see who likes it, see who doesn't. There'll be door prizes and conversations about everything from Brunswick stew to smoking. And we're trying to work towards a large event in the spring process. Hello?
Oh, you're still here?
It's still in the process of this big event. We're working with the Starlight 6 drive-in to have a big cook-off in the spring. And it's open to all. It's $25 a year. And our first meeting is October 8th at Maddie's in Decatur at 7 o'clock. That's next week. And we'd love to see anybody who loves barbecue to come on down if you can make it, if you happen to be in town. Trying to think of any other things about the barbecue club. What's your favorite barbecue, David?
Well, I tell you what, my town now, Rome, doesn't have the best barbecue. Now, I may offend Tim a little bit there since he's born and raised in Rome. But there is a fella named Charlie Patterson that will come out to a lot of our political events. He's done numerous Democratic events in Northwest Georgia, and he fixes some great barbecue. So even though he doesn't have his own establishment in my home area, Charlie Patterson's very good. Now, of course, if you said down in Jonesboro, I love going with my dad to Harold's.
I like Dean's down there. I like Harold's and I like Dean's, but, and this is the thing about barbecue. You get two people talking about it. One likes Harold's, one likes Dean's. But it's a lot more friendly than political arguments because, it's all good versus the good side and the bad side of politics. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Well, when you're getting to eat the pork, it's a little bit different when you're fighting over who gets to keep it all. Politics.
You are
well,
tonight, David.
Well, I'm not the only one.
Hey, Bernita, what's your favorite barbecue?
I was going to say, let's pass that to find out what kind of good barbecue there is in New York, New Jersey.
I don't know. I like chopped pork anywhere. I like a chopped pork sandwich anywhere.
You like the chopped pork. I like the pulled pork. I like the ribs. I'm not a big Brunswick stew fan, but there's a whole cult of Brunswick stew people.
It's just too much of stuff in that to enjoy it for me. I got textualization issues, man.
Texture issues is the Brunswick stew?
Yeah, it's just too much stuff floating all around in that.
Oh, I was raised on the Place Brunswick stew, and I tell you what, I can remember back when University of Georgia, when they would go to the sideline to get water, they wouldn't get out of Gatorade cups. They'd get it out of Posse Brunswick stew cups. You'd think they were drinking Brunswick stew when they came off the field, but I can't imagine that was the case. Herschel wouldn't have had too many 100-yard games tanking up on Brunswick stew in the third quarter.
Yeah. Well, other things that the club does is informs people about events going on. Douglas, Georgia, has a national barbecue contest this November and first and second, first weekend in November, and it gets 30,000 people from all over the country to go to Douglas, Georgia. Another thing we do is we're trying to get private only, like your friend who comes out and cooks for you. We've got a couple of people offered to come out and cook for the club already, and you know, we're going to try to get it so that we'll meet at some place and this person will present their stuff. And there's a lot of private people that do a lot of good cooking. There's also some people in town that have their own sauce companies that, you know, sell their sauces. I had a rum mango sauce and an orange brandy sauce that were just phenomenal.
Yes, well, I guess let's not leave Tim out. Tim, tell us your barbecue likes and dislikes.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I got to do is ask about sauce, because that's really where the action is in barbecue. And I love to cook, and I have my own barbecue sauce recipe. Mine is a little hot, by the way. That's just the way I like it. And you know that barbecue runs from sweet barbecue out in the Midwest, the Kansas City area, all the way to the vinegar-based stuff done in North Carolina. And I was wondering, which region of the country do you think has the best barbecue sauce, and what kind is it?
I think it all depends on taste. I'm going to be like a politician here and be like Hillary Clinton. You know, she says she can root for the Yankees and the Cubs. I can root for North Carolina and Kansas City and Texas and Georgia, and I can root for everybody because, you know, I can. I really do. Depends on the mood I'm in. When I like just for dinner tonight, I said, you know, I'm sort of in that sweet sauce kind of mood, and other times I'm in the vinegar sauce. The North Carolina vinegar based stuff is awesome if you're in the mood for it. And I think I had heard a story, and it's a story or a myth that I'm following that I want to follow up on. And this is North Alabama white sauce. Has anybody here heard of that?
I believe it's Big Jim's. It's in Decatur, Alabama.
So you have heard of it?
I tried a little bit. It wasn't my thing. But Big Jim's in Decatur, Alabama is apparently regionally known. And I went over there for an education. I was over there doing some of my doctoral work when I was attending the University of Alabama. And a guy from the one of the principals of the Decatur Alabama High Schools took me over there. It took us all over there, and they had that white sauce, and it's
renowned. Is it
renowned.
Made? Is it not so good?
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't like pouring ranch dressing on it, even though it looked like that. But it was different. And I tell you what, talking about sauces, Tim said on something. Jim Spearman, who's now I believe the executive director of the Alabama Democratic Party. Last time I talked to Jim, he was way up, and I believe he's made executive director. He took me to the barbecue restaurant in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. You're thinking, hey, why Georgetown, Washington, he's a little cosmopolitan, have some good barbecue. But I tell you what, this place had, they served you dry pulled, well, guess what, you got what you want, but I love pulled pork. Dry pulled pork, and on the table was 10 different sauces.
Whoa.
They had the Low Country, the vinegar base. They had the Kansas City. They had the Memphis. They had several other places. And you could then choose. And so you could take, you know, a little bit of your barbecue and put different things in it and get a real potpourri of different barbecues.
Could you combine them? Like, could you take some vinegar and some sweet and combine it in your stuff?
You could. I kind of, like, partitioned mine off and had a little bit at a time of different ones so I could try some things I'd never had. But I tell you what, I went to a Memphis restaurant. It's a little bit of a chain. I wish it would kind of get down our way, called the Pig and Whistle. And one of the Pig and Whistle's big people that would go there a lot was Al Gore. So Pig and Whistle, Al Gore is a big Pig and Whistle barbecue man. Maybe that's when he lost that presidential race. Maybe he took the trip to Pig and Whistle, so you know it has been good cue. That's one. I tell you another one. If you're ever going down to Panama City, you follow Alabama. Right off the road, it says Best Butts in Town. And no, it's not a strip club. It's a barbecue joint. I forgot the name of it, but it is excellent. It is absolutely a hole in the wall. So I'm a big fan of that one. And I tell you another one. I tell you, Sonny's, even though it's a chain and you feel like you're going to Sonny Perdue's place, it ain't half bad.
It's okay. I think my favorite chain, and I actually have talked to the owner, is Shane's. Have you all heard of Shane's?
Yeah, it's one right
around the corner, Georgia.
Yeah. Have you been there, Bernita?
Yeah, I go there all the time.
What do you think?
I like it a lot.
What
I like
you,
the
Do you get the pulled pork or the ribs?
I get the pulled pork.
And you recommend
it? I like it without the sauce. That's my type of barbecue. I have to taste the meat before I put the sauce on it. That sauce gets all sticky, but, you know, if the meat's good, then you know whatever else is coming on top should be good.
Yeah, I've had good experiences with Shane's with their pulled pork. Their ribs are good, too, but I think they have excellent pulled for a place that has, I don't know, they probably got 20 restaurants now, and I think their pulled pork is really pretty good.
Yes, and so and I believe they're opening a Shane's Rib Shack in Rome right on the Oostenaula River. So if I join the barbecue club, that's one place I could take it in Floyd County. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Okay, well, because I know, you know, I told you this when you and I were talking about this early on. You ought to make that the Georgia barbecue
We're having our first meeting this year, and I'm get first meeting this month. And if things work out well, I'm going to expand it and grow it to the. May not be the Georgia, but it'll still be the same name, but it'll include all of Georgia if we can expand and grow as I hope. I think it would be a great thing because there's great barbecue all over this state. I like Sprayberries. It's down in where is that place? Fayette County. Have any of y'all been to Sprayberries?
Well, I've not been to Sprayberries. I know the Speedy Pig, and I tell you, I know Maliers, and Maliers is when the Republicans took over the GOP, or took over the Capitol back in 1994, the big inaugural deal, Newt Gingrich brought Maliers Barbecue up to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
But he was so fond of it. I thought, well, you know, I may not agree with the man politically, but if he's going to truck this barbecue all the way to Washington, it must be
can't be all bad.
So I went to Maliers.
Where is it?
It's in Fayette County. It ain't worth a crap.
Oh, really?
Ah! And so, you know, I tell you what, we don't have sponsors on the show, so I can say what I want. But it ain't good.
You realize that one day.
Well, let me tell you, have any of you all been to the Wild Hog Supper?
No.
You've never been to the Wild Hog Supper, David?
No, I never have, but I guess you're going to get us an invite.
I'm going to have to try to wheel and deal you into the Wild Hog. Tommy Irvin puts on the Wild Hog Supper.
Oh, well, we're in. I'm sure Tommy loves us three Democrats.
Yeah, we're Democrats. He'll let you in. It's an event they have for politicians and politicos. You go there, and there's media people, and you have to have a little bit of a hook, but you should be able to get in. And basically, they have tables of pork, the whole hogs that they've cut, wild hogs, and they have a great sauce to go with it, and you just pick the meat out off the animal and pick what you want, and then you can put on the amount of sauce you want and pick different parts, and and they have great sides too. That's another thing about barbecue is getting the good sides. Some people have, you know, corn on the cob, macaroni and cheese, all these different kinds of sides, and the Wild Hog Supper is usually the first Monday in
Sunday, I thought.
This is Sunday before
night.
Session starts.
I know about it, but I've never been because we have it on TV. But I tell you what, it sounds like a kudzu vine remote waiting to happen.
Oh, man, there you go. You got to go down. You can interview everybody down there, David. I tell you what.
What did you say, Bernita?
Macon, on Macon Day, when Macon has their day at the Capitol, they have some really good pulled pork.
Yeah, so we got to plan these things out. Well, Bob, we got a few more things to close off the show, so we're going to have to wrap this fun fest up. And I tell you what, this is probably the most lighthearted fun segments we've ever had on the Kudzu Vine.
I
want you to leave us with this. What's the website if people want to join and find out more info?
Thanks, David. It's www.atlbbqclub.com. And I have the best designer ever. If anybody needs a recommendation for a website, please give me a call. I got a great designer. It's www.atlbbqclub.com.
Yes, when you enlist the talents of Gilbert Ovalle, you cannot go wrong. So,
I knew that was an inside job somewhere.
Yeah, hey, but the man does good work. And actually, if you look at the post today on Tondi's Tavern, we linked Bob's site there so people could read a little bit there. So that's another way if you didn't catch the address. But, Bob, you've gotten us too lighthearted, so Tim's probably going to go soft on us this week and not have much of an outrage, but we're going to give him a crack at it anyway. Go ahead, Tim.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
You ready for me to start, Dave?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, there's surely been a lot of talk this week in Georgia about former Speaker Newt Gingrich. First, there was this event at the Galleria in Marietta the other day in which he launched something called American Solutions. I find that name curious, by the way, since he never had too many solutions for anything when he was an office holder. And then over the course of the weekend, it leaked out that Gingrich has decided not to seek the GOP nomination for 08. And inevitably, all over the conservative blogosphere and in the newspapers and on radio and television, the Republicans began their tributes. I tell you, Dave, you would have thought they were paying homage to Lincoln or Gandhi. I actually saw some guy on a blog said that Gingrich is the greatest speaker of the House this country has seen in many, many years. The fella even compared Gingrich to Sam Rayburn. Okay, I understand that as the man exits the stage, that something nice has to be said about him. But aren't we altering the history of the 90s just a wee bit here? Does anybody remember Crybaby Newt and how foolish he looked when he complained about his perceived bad treatment aboard Air Force One? Does anybody remember how he tried to assume the role of de facto president and relegate President Clinton to the status of irrelevant bystander? Does anybody remember how that same President Clinton then took Gingrich out behind the woodshed and made him look like an absolute fool in the process? And does anybody remember that the same Republicans who now wax poetic also threw Gingrich out with the garbage when they blamed him for the 98 election loss? That was just 9 years ago. It's not that hard to remember. I certainly remember some things. Newt Gingrich was good at one thing, throwing bombs. But his scorched earth style made him an ineffective Speaker of the House. And I know that Newt Gingrich is a smart man full of ideas. The problem with him is that he knows it as well, and ego is his weakness. He couldn't lead before, so what made anybody think that this guy would be a good president? I say this to my friends in the GOP, that you are better off without Newt Gingrich on your ticket. You just dodged a bullet. I just wish you had admitted it, Dave.
Yes, well, another excellent topic and very topical, if you will. I'm going to say something a little bit nice about him before I smack him down. I'm going to say something a little bit nice. You know, really, I don't think he should have ever resigned in 1998. Just because you lost, the whole rest of the followers believed the same agenda. So there's no reason for him to resign. And then that Livingston character that pushed him out, he got what he deserved. So Gingrich shouldn't have resigned. So that's something, I guess, a little nice. But then I'm going to tell you a little something. My wife and I, we got married. We had a wedding video made. And one of the songs we put on there was by New Edition. It was called Can You Stand the Rain? And for those who have never heard the song, it's talking about, you know, everybody can enjoy a sunny day. When times are tough, can you stick it out and still love each other? That's a song that Newt Gingrich obviously needs to hear, because for better or for worse, sickness and health, that man really doesn't understand very well. You know, leaving his wife when she had cancer and all, but certainly a very timely topic. I don't know what they would have done with another Republican candidate, but I still don't know if they got the right choice, because I think Fred Thompson, the golden boy, is starting to flame out.
Grandpa?
Yeah, the judge or whatever he is on Law and Order, I think it's seen on TV is I don't mean like he's fixing to go down in flames like tomorrow, but the buzz he had seems to be fading a little bit, and you know at this point he still should be, after he got in the race, still be picking up a little momentum, and if he's at nothing else, he's just kind of plateaued. I don't know.
Yeah, Grandpa
think, but,
ain't doing that well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I still think Mike Huckabee, if you look at who those people are, I think Mike Huckabee is the best they can get. And I've talked to other political consultants that agree. So we'll see. But I don't know about y'all, but that was one of the most fun shows I think we've had. We had an excellent state house candidate. My goodness, if she can't win in the 127th, I think we ought to move her to a district because there's a lot of Democrats.
Maybe she can run against Lynn Westmoreland.
Oh, I think we got to get her in somehow. I tell you what, if she wants to move to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
I run her against Katie Dempsey. I tell you what, she's a fireball and knows a lot about the education issue and wants to talk Frank. And we're talking about our man, Jim Marshall, that wants to stand up for peace care. This is a lady that's still trying to get in office, and she doesn't mind standing up for children. So she's impressive. And obviously, Bob was a lot of fun, good Democrat, and a good chance to let him hear about his club because politics and barbecue are like hand and glove.
Yep.
But we'll be booking another show and have the updates on Tondi's Tavern and Blog for Democracy and elsewhere. So just tune in every Sunday at 7 o'clock. Thank y'all.
Good night.
Good night, guys.